Hello and welcome to episode 81 of the Creating Happy Writers podcast. Thank you for joining me today. My name is Steph Caswell. I'm a multi-published author and a writing coach on a mission to take away the overwhelm, the confusion and the frustration from the writing process and give you the confidence and knowledge you need to pursue your writing goals. If you want to learn more about writing or publishing, you can do one or both of these two things. Firstly, sign up for my email newsletter, The Write Stuff, available every Thursday in your inbox. It's full of writing and publishing advice. And grab a copy of my book, Dare to Write, which walks you step by step from your initial book idea all the way to published manuscript. It's available right now on Amazon and on my website. Links are all in the show notes. I'm ready now to start today's episode. It's part of this mindset series of solo episodes that I'm doing over these next few weeks. And we're going to look at the age-old question today. Who the hell are you to write a book? In episode 79, I talked about the fact that mindset is one of the things that stops people writing. It's probably the biggest thing, because when we stop believing that we can do the thing, we don't do it. Or when we don't even believe we can do it in the first place, we never get started. And self-belief is one thing stopping people from writing the books in their industries. Self-doubt, sometimes crippling cases of imposter syndrome, are rife. It's really why I wanted to do this episode, because I think we underestimate the impact that these thoughts have on ourselves and how much they show up in our writing in a whole host of different ways. And I thought, if I can do an episode which is all about self-belief, self-confidence, mindset stuff that's going to help you push forward with your book in 2025, then it had to be done. So let's dive in. So why do we struggle with self-doubt? Well, writing a book, first and foremost, it's hard, yes, it's challenging, it's exciting, it's all those things, but it puts a lot of attention on ourselves. And we've got to be bold. And as I've said now on countless episodes, we have to stand for something, we have to stick our stake in the ground and get people to realize that these are our beliefs, our strategies, our expertise. It puts a lot of eyes on us, and that can feel uncomfortable for us. Even if we're already established in our industries, it's new eyes potentially. It's sharing your expertise in a new and different way. And so when that starts to be realized, it can feel really, really stressful and can make us uncomfortable. If we are sharing parts of our story or our journey or our experience that we haven't shared perhaps before, then again, it just makes us feel uncomfortable. It's unlikely also that we've done anything like this before. In terms of the type of content that a book is, you might have got a podcast, you might have done a blog series, you might have a Substack newsletter, you might have a YouTube series. But a book is different. A book is quite confronting because you're putting all of your expertise, everything that you know to be true, into one place. If you think about a podcast, you've got episodes and episodes which people can tune into, but it's not one whole month-long episode where you share everything you know. If you've got a blog series, again, it's snippets of information, social media, snippets of information or knowledge, or even your story, it's snippets. The same with YouTube. It's great stuff that you might have in your content library, but it's not everything in one place. And that's what a book is. And that can feel daunting. And it just makes us feel as though, actually, I've got to get it all right in one place. I've got to make sure that I include everything and that I share the right stuff to help people. And again, that can feel overwhelming. We might also have pre-existing baggage around limiting beliefs or experiences. Perhaps it's about our writing experience, our writing skills. Perhaps it's about putting ourselves out there. Perhaps we're not somebody who naturally feels inclined to do that. And we maybe don't stand on stages a lot and talk. And a book can be quite confronting when it comes to limiting beliefs that already exist. We might actually be fearful of success. which whenever I say this out loud, I always think it's such a bizarre one, isn't it? We want to be successful in our businesses, with our books, with whatever else we're doing. We want to be successful, but deep down, being successful can be quite a challenge, because what happens if we are successful and the people around us end up thinking, well, this person isn't the person they once were, or perhaps people get jealous? All this stuff can happen. And so we almost sabotage ourselves because we're too busy worrying, even subconsciously, about what other people might think and whether we change and become a different person that they don't actually like or want to spend time with anymore. And that's very understandable. Another thing we struggle with is we're not sure if what we say matters enough. Like, who are we? Why should people listen to us? Are we just saying the same stuff as everyone else? What makes us different? What makes us special? And again, it could be a subconscious thing that you don't know that you're sabotaging yourself by doing this. But quite often, people who are established in their industries feel like maybe they've said all the things they have to say. And sometimes when you become big in your industry, it can be kind of a weird process. Like, all of a sudden you're quite well known and people are looking to you and wanting your reaction and your comments and your opinions about things. And it can sort of come out from nowhere. And I wonder whether that can help the self-doubt and the lack of belief creep in, because you're then thinking, well, actually, who am I to be saying all this stuff? Like, why do people look to me? And there's a confidence piece there around being, do you know what? I am worth listening to. I am enough in who I am, and my thoughts and my strategies are established enough for me to be taken seriously. We also worry that we might be writing to an oversaturated market. That can stop us. We might think, oh my God, there's so many books out there on my topic. Why the hell should I be writing another one? Or what have I got to say that's any different? And again, that can stop us and make us struggle with self-doubt and a lack of self-confidence. As I mentioned, we could also be worried about our writing skills. You might have memories from school where you had a teacher who was particularly rude about your writing, or maybe you are dyslexic and you struggle with writing, or perhaps you think you have to write in a particular way. Maybe you've done a PhD and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to sound so academic and really show that I know my stuff. And that can make us stop believing that we can write in a way that the everyday person can understand. And we might also forget how many people we've actually already helped along the way. Because if you've been doing something for 10 years, if you've been a coach for 10 years or 5 years, you are just kind of going through your days, your weeks, you've got this business, it's kind of on, you know, it's rolling along nicely, and you will forget what you have done in the last 10 years, who you've helped, in what ways. So that can really be part of the struggle. And I just want to share a story with you. I was talking this morning with my very good friend Kay, who is a journalist, and she has worked at one of the biggest magazines, celebrity magazines, for 20 years. She's just finished. Just over 20 years she was there. She was the features editor at Heat magazine. The first interview that she ever did was with Gordon Ramsay, and she remembers coming home from going to the newsagent and getting the copy of Heat with her interview in it. And she said there's a photo of her smiling face. This is my first interview in a printed, published magazine. And we were talking about her memories of that, because she's just about to have her first interview printed in another huge industry magazine. And she said, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to take a photo, because this has been a lifelong dream to be in this particular publication. And she said to me, I was thinking to myself, I've forgotten so many of the celebrities that I've interviewed. And you and I might be there thinking, how can you forget if you've interviewed someone? But she said it's been 20 years of interviewing. And she said it was only when she was looking back over her portfolio that she realized she's interviewed people that she didn't even remember interviewing. And that to me sounds crackers, but actually 20 years is a long time. And so my point is, we might forget who we've helped and how, just like Kay forgot some of the people that she'd interviewed over the years, because just naturally when we're doing the job day to day, you know, with all the clients we've helped, we can forget. And that can make us feel like we're not experienced enough. When of course, if you've been coaching for anything more than 3+ years, you're going to be well experienced enough. And I know that's terrible grammar, but just forgive me. So now we've talked about why we might struggle, let's look at how it shows up in our writing. So the first and obvious way is procrastination. All these self-doubts and limiting beliefs we have, the lack of confidence, it can make us stop ourselves from even doing the writing, from sitting down, from even starting the book. We can walk around with an idea for a book for years, but we self-sabotage, we tell ourselves we can't, and therefore we procrastinate. Another way it can show up is that we keep our writing a secret. We don't tell our audience or our friends or our family that we have this aspiration to write or that we're writing a book in general. And we do that because we don't believe, perhaps, that we are worth this status of writer. And it can be really tricky. Another way is avoidance. We avoid writing. We don't sit down. I know this is linked to procrastination, but we don't sit down to write. We avoid the hard stuff. Perhaps you even have mapped out your book. Perhaps you've done a chapter outline, yet there is still some avoidance there. There's resistance to sitting down and doing the stuff. We can talk ourselves out of doing it. We tell ourselves we'll do it next year. I have a lot of people who say, oh, I do want to write a book. I think I'm going to do it next year. And I will talk to those people year after year after year, and they tell me, oh, but I'm going to do it next year. We talk ourselves out of it. And we're doing that as part of a self-protection thing, but also because we believe certain things about our capability, our time, our enthusiasm, all of this stuff can have this impact about why we tell ourselves we can't do it right now. We tell ourselves we need more qualifications, more experience, that we need to have X amount of years in the industry to be taken seriously. Again, none of this is true. I have people who say to me, I haven't got a PhD, so I can't write a book, or I haven't got a master's degree. And that does not matter. That does not matter at all, in the slightest. If you have something that can help people, a strategy, an experience, a set of tools, then, oh my God, you don't need a PhD to tell them that. You need to write a book that's relatable, informative, entertaining, and you're there. The final way, and this is something I'm awful at, dear listener, is playing down our expertise. We can be dismissive. And I am the worst at this. I am somebody who my natural comedic way of talking about myself, which I know actually deep down is probably not comedic at all, is I'm quite dismissive of myself and self-deprecating. And I take the piss out of myself because I suppose it stems back to my experience being bullied as a teenager. I feel like if I can take the piss out of myself before other people can, then I'm in control. I've got control of that part of the conversation. And actually, as an adult, you're not going to have people who come up and take the piss out of you to your face. So I don't know why I still do it. But again, it's right back to the baggage and all that stuff. But we can play down our expertise as a reason not to write. So we can tell ourselves that we haven't got enough experience, or that we are not the thought leader that people think we are. And we can dismiss it quite easily without even thinking about it. We can be like, oh, well, no, I couldn't write a book on that. And we don't sit and try and unpick why we do that. Gosh, it's fun, isn't it? Trying to be somebody who's got the right mindset to write and the confidence. It's a real journey for a lot of people. So if this is resonating with you and you're thinking to yourself, do you know what, this is a lot of this is me, let me just tell you that it's a lot of it is me, and I'm 10 years into writing. So of course, it's not like, oh, here you go, here are some solutions that is going to mean you're never going to feel a smidgen of self-doubt or lack of confidence, because I still feel all those things, and that's okay. But it's about managing it and trying to have techniques and strategies that are going to help you in the long run. When you notice that you're doing this stuff, you've got strategies to help you. So we're going to move on to what can you do about it. First and foremost, I want to say to you, who are you not to write a book? The title of this podcast is Who Are You to Write a Book? But I'm going to challenge you and I'm going to say, who are you not to write a book? Because we think we're not the right person. But in fact, for our ideal reader and our audience, we are 100% the right person. Otherwise, they wouldn't interact with us. They wouldn't care. You wouldn't have clients that come back to you. You wouldn't have people booking in for initial consultations or discovery calls. You wouldn't have people listening to your podcast, reading your blogs, your newsletters, interacting with you on social media. If you were somebody who was not the right person, and I'm using right with air quotes, to write a book, then you wouldn't have this stuff going on. So please let me just say, who are you not to write a book? Because in my opinion, if you have stuff to share, you are the person to write a book. You can do this. And we light the way for others. By writing a book, we're lighting the way for others. And as women, that's very empowering. And I believe that if I can write my books, if I can support other people to write theirs, I'm giving them those opportunities and possibilities by helping them. I can't do the work for them. I can't sit and grab their hands and say, type, damn you, type, as much as I'd love to do that sometimes. But I can be the person that walks alongside you, and I can be the person that encourages you and supports you and gives you bursts of enthusiasm when you need it. Because when people read the books that you are writing, it gives them permission. It makes them believe that they can do it too. If she can do it, I can do it. So don't underestimate that. And that's what the great books do, is that they give you that chance to say to somebody, look, take my hand, my love, come with me. I'll show you the way. And if you've been struggling with something, just having that virtual hand reach out and say, I see you. Come on, we're going to do this together, is so powerful. And all the books that I love and recommend and come back to time and time again are the books that I felt the author was doing that for me. And you can do it too. Another thing we can do to manage the self-doubt problem is, you've got to just lean into the discomfort. Explore why you're doubting yourself. What are the reasons? Sit with it, journal on it, talk out loud to your friends about it, or your family, or your spouse, or whoever it is, somebody you feel comfortable with. And I mentioned Kay earlier, and Kay is somebody that, she's one of my closest friends, and we talk a lot about life, about our individual journeys, about what we're doing, our businesses. And having somebody to talk to, yes, but also somebody to hold up a mirror so that sometimes you can look at yourself and hear yourself. And Kay's brilliant at saying to me, listen to yourself. Like, what are you saying? Of course you can do this stuff. Like, you have to now believe that you can, or whatever it might be. So sometimes a coach is great at this as well, to say, actually, hang on a minute, you said this, but I'm challenging you on this. So in order to do that, you've got to do some self-reflection, journaling. Like, why do you have this self-doubt about your ability to write? What is it that really is the problem? And when you know what the problem is, you can find a solution. But at the moment, when you're just not doing it, you've not really sat down properly and thought to yourself, what is the real reason that I'm struggling with my belief system around writing? When I talked about leaning into it, a way to do this is to share small stuff. When we think about writing and sharing a book with the world, it can feel a bit, bloody hell, I've got this enormous thing that I'm trying to do, and it can feel terrifying. So explore other ways to share your thoughts and your ideas and your expertise. It might be a newsletter. If you are somebody who has an email newsletter, but you're very sporadic with it, why not try building up a consistent newsletter for the next 6 months and write down your thoughts and your opinions and your ideas and your strategies? Because then you'll start to get people interested in what you're saying, sharing their stories with you when you share yours. So if it is something that you feel like is a big step and you're not ready, start small. Start sharing stuff on social media. Start a podcast, even if it's a limited series of 10 episodes where you just talk your ideas out. Then that will help you get comfortable with being uncomfortable. One other area that I feel is important to mention is accept that some people won't like your work. Some people won't like you. You're never going to please everybody. There'll be people that dislike you from the very moment they meet you, because that's just human nature. And we all do it. I'm sure you can think of people that you've met and you're like, not my cup of tea. Thanks all the same. So you can be polite and kind. You're not obviously going to be an absolute knobhead about it, but you wouldn't choose to spend a lot of time with them. And there are people I find sometimes on social media that I end up having to just unfollow or mute because I'm like, oh gosh, a little bit now, I'm just not feeling the vibe. It's perfectly natural, and it's about accepting it and thinking, I'm not going to appeal to everybody. My book is not going to appeal to everybody. That's okay. I'm just trying to appeal to the right people. And it might even be that the right people, potential clients, people in your audience don't like it. And that's okay too. It's about accepting it and thinking, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not going to use that as a reason not to do the writing or not to publish, because you won't ever do it if you're trying to think, oh, I just want everyone to love it. Yes, of course, underneath it, we'd love everyone to love it, but they're not. And you're just going to have to make your peace with it. Not everybody wants vanilla books. And I'm going to say this, nobody wants vanilla books. I mean, can you imagine you read a book and you're like, meh, it was all right. It was a bit meh. Like, there are some books I've read where someone's like, oh, I want to read this, but what do you think? And you're like, it's all right. It's not given me anything I didn't already know, or it's not blowing my socks off. Again, you're going to have to take that risk when you write, because there might be people who are super aware of stuff in your industry, or it could be that they're super clued up on whatever the strategies are that you're talking about. But put them aside and just think, right, in order to not be vanilla, in order to not write a book that somebody says is a bit meh, I would say that's where you need to be confident enough to say what you really think and believe. And people love that kind of book. They love a vibe. They want to feel connected. They want to feel motivated. And you know what happens when you start reading a book and you're like, yep, I'm absolutely loving this. This is totally my thing. And you can start to feel yourself get excited about the possibilities and the opportunities. And that's what you want to do. But the only way to do that is to not sit on the fence. Don't think to yourself, oh, I don't want to offend anybody. My current WIP, work in progress, is the book about productivity. It's totally about short writing sprints and the power of small habits, short episodes of writing, short things that mean that you can make everyday progress. I have to make my peace with the fact that there will be some people out there who hate that approach. They will think daily 30-minute sprints, no thank you. That's okay. I'm not trying to appeal to those people. I'm trying to appeal to the people who maybe have tried all the other ways and they're like, oh, okay, 30 minutes seems manageable. I'm going to try this. They might not like it. Again, that's okay. But the point is, I'm being very, very firm on my stance that smaller, I can't believe I'm saying this, the smaller is better. And can I just say that is one of the chapter titles in the book. Smaller can sometimes be better. And let's just leave it there. But that is true. That's my belief when it comes to writing, that every day, consistent 30 minutes is the only way to write a book and get it out there in a good amount of time. It's not going to be for the people who want to spend decades writing. They're going to hate that, and that's okay. If forgetting who you've helped, if you're Kay and you're forgetting the celebrities that you've interviewed, but perhaps you're forgetting the clients that you've worked with, go back, print off testimonials, look back at all of your client lists and think, oh my goodness, I've helped this amount of people. And when you do that, it can be so incredible because you're thinking to yourself, I'd completely forgotten that I've helped tens, hundreds, thousands of people to do the thing they wanted to do. So go back and give your self-confidence a boost by looking at that information and helping, that will help you, should I say, feel as though you are somebody that can do this, because what you say and do actually helps real people. As I said at the beginning, we all feel it. It doesn't mean that just because I've published so many books that I genuinely don't feel a moment of self-doubt or a lack of confidence. Of course I do. It's part of being creative. And I really want to express such a a real emphasis on that point. It is part of the creative process. What is not okay is not doing something about it and not looking for strategies and using some of the things that I'm mentioning here. Look back at your values. Why do you want to write a book? And this can really help in moments of self-doubt. Make it about one person. Talk to one person. And I said in episode 79, talk to one person. What's their problem that they're struggling with right now? And that's the way to keep yourself from catastrophizing about what you're trying to do. Look at your why. Why do you want to write this book for that one person? What are your values? What are you trying to express through your writing? And I had a lovely experience recently where a teacher had tweeted or X'd me. Woohoo, I don't even know what to call it anymore. Where they'd shared a photo of Keeping Bums in Seats, which is my first book about behaviour management. And they had shared this photo and been like, this really helped me this term. And I felt so happy because my whole thing about writing is never to be like multi-million selling author because it's so unrealistic. To help that one person have a better autumn term experience because they read my book and they could go into their classroom as a newly qualified early career teacher and have the experience of feeling confident standing at the front of managing behavior, that for me meant so much because I've helped that one person. Try to lower your expectations. We're not trying to change everyone's lives. We're trying to change the right people's lives. And that might just be one person at a time. It might be that, okay, things get momentum and, you know, I've sold thousands of copies of Keeping Bums in Seats, so I know it's helped more than that one person. But for me, the author, just hearing that was like, yeah, that's why I wrote that book, because somebody could stand at the front of their classroom and not shit their pants. That is why. A couple more practical things before I finish. If you are somebody who is a negative Nora, if you are always having negative chatter in your head, create some positive affirmations, practice visualization or mental rehearsal, as Joe Dispenza calls it. Mental rehearsal. Picture having the book in your hand. Picture querying an agent if you want to go down the traditional route. Picture signing a contract. Imagine having your book on some shelves in the bookshop. Whatever works for you, because we're all individual, we all have our own ambitions and our own ways that we want this book to happen. But visualize what's right for you. Really, really sit there, feel the emotions. There's a whole thing about doing visualization properly, and I can't do that justice in the next 30 seconds. But there is a whole thing about feeling the energetics around it, feeling the emotion of excitement, of anticipation, of happiness and joy. And that can really help motivate you. But if you're somebody who is very, very guilty of giving yourself negative thoughts and having the inner critic chirp, chirp, chirp in your ear, then I would say to you, it's really useful to write down what are the things that I keep saying to myself that are negative, and then write next to them the things that you could say instead that are positive. And that can be really useful. Have that up somewhere. So if you catch yourself saying, I could never be a writer, or this book is going to be shit, have something up there that you're going to say to yourself, no, I've reflected, I'm aware, I've caught myself saying this, and I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm going to say this instead. And all of that kind of stuff, because language is so fundamentally important to the way we speak to ourselves. I know that sounds a stupid thing to say, because language and speaking is obviously they're interlinked, but the type of language, should I say, is what is really important to reflect on. What are you saying to yourself on the regs that you realize is contributing to this negative self-doubt, this worry, this fear? Because that's what a lot of it comes back to, is fear. If you're worried about your writing skills, please remember, you don't have to be the world's best writer, because editors are the people that can make the magic happen. If you are somebody who feels like, you know what, writing isn't my absolute most brilliant skill that I have, that's okay. Dictate your book into something, a dictation software. Do it that way. Or just write and realize actually working with an editor is a team approach. They can help you polish and refine your work. If you work with somebody like me, who's a developmental editor, then I can help you shape the book, structure it properly, give the best experience for the reader, because that's what I do. That's my expertise. Your expertise is the subject of your book. My expertise is to make that relatable for the reader. So if you are struggling with certain skills, get support. And finally, and I'm sorry to drop an F-bomb right at the end of this podcast, but I'm going to say this to you. Please remember who the fuck you are. Step into that power that only you have and acknowledge your own incredible achievements and expertise, because they are there. They are totally there. And when we forget who we are, when we diminish our light, when we start to not believe that we are the person that deep down, deep, deep down, we know we are, then we're limiting our potential. And we're not allowing other people to flourish. We're being selfish, essentially, because your skills and expertise could help someone change their life. And that sounds dramatic, but it's true. Books change lives. There have been books that I have read in the last 10, 15 years that have ultimately changed the trajectory of my life. So please don't forget that you have the power to change someone's life. And like I said about that teacher, I changed their experience of teaching. I gave them confidence. And that sounds, when I say it out loud, a bit wanky, but it's so important for me to remember, because then that gives me the confidence to think, do you know what, if I can help that one person, then I can help another and another. By looking back at your experience, by looking back at the last however many years that you've been doing what you do, by looking at the people you've helped in a day-to-day, real-life way, that should give you the confidence that you can help them in the written format of a book. So please remember who you are, please, because when you are grounded in that knowledge of who the hell you are, that passion, that motivation can set you up beautifully to write your book in 2025. There you have it. Woof, what an episode. What an episode about self-belief. I mean, it's something that is just ongoing, right? And I know you have the expertise and the knowledge and, frankly, the bloody amazingness to write a book. I do. You wouldn't be listening to this podcast if you didn't. The world needs your voice and your thoughts. And we actively look for thought leaders. If we are people who are committed to improving ourselves, we look for people to shine a light for us. And that is what you can do. So don't underestimate what your knowledge can do for somebody. And as I said, books do change lives. There's a great quote that I'm going to finish with. Everything you want is on the other side of fear. And it's true. When we're fearful, we can tell ourselves all kinds of shit. It's now time to stop listening to that voice of self-doubt. It's never going to go away. We are always going to have to manage it, even into our old age. But being aware of it is the first step. And when we are aware of what it's saying, what it's doing, how it's impacting us, how it's showing up in our writing, in our day-to-day lives, in our businesses, whatever it might be. When we have awareness, we can take back control. So if we don't have control, then we let things come and talk to us in negative ways. We have thoughts that don't help us. We self-sabotage. But when we're aware, we can do something about it. I believe in you. And I wish you the greatest of love and luck on your writing journey. You know where I am. So reach out to me. If this is something that's really helped you, or if it's given you something to think about, let me know. You can email me, steph@stephcaswell.com. You can find me on Instagram, Steph Caswell Author. You can find me on LinkedIn. And just let me know. If you've got questions, I'm here for them. So reach out. I'm always here with my ear. And I'll finish on that terrible bit of poetry. If you know someone else who'd enjoy this, please forward it on to them. But until next time, happy writing.